Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I decided to write my CBS Sports Minute about the Jets. Well, about Adam Gase and the Jets situation. And I came across a couple of numbers just to go along with my argument. So to piggyback on what producer Dave and I were talking about before the break. Now, again, I want to underscore the fact that they don't have a lot of talent on their roster. Their top wide receiver is injured. Their top running back is injured. Sam Darnold doesn't have a whole lot of help. I wouldn't say the offensive line is any great shakes either. The defense is supposed to have been the stronger unit for the team. But the defense is missing a couple of pieces because of opt-outs. And then just in general, you know, having lost Jamal Adams, I'm not saying that wasn't a good move for them, but it's not a talented roster. I feel like they haven't even hit the rock bottom yet in terms of the rebuild to start putting the pieces back together again. That's my assessment of it. But as I was looking at the numbers, I'm not laughing at you, Dave, I promise. They are last, dead last in total offense in both yards and points per game. And here's what stands out to me. Do you know in three games, they have not even crossed the 800-yard mark? In three games, they don't even have a total of 800 yards. Ow.
That's not what you want.
No, there's the understatement of the show. And while they're actually the Giants and the Jets are keeping one another company at the bottom of the offensive rankings for the league, the Jets are barely over 12 points per game. So here's what we've got for Thursday Night Football. The Jets average 12.3 points per game. The Broncos are third last at 15 points per game. And the Giants are sandwiched right there in the middle. So, you know, I picked a winner of a game to go to. If I thought it was going to be silent before, now thinking about the fact that what is there actually to cheer about anyway, it could be probably one of the worst atmospheres in the NFL the entire season, and I will be there taking photos like a fiend.
Let's just hope it doesn't end in a tie.
If it does, I'm not coming to work. I refuse. I absolutely refuse. That would be worst case scenario. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So, yes, writing my CBS Sports Minute about the Jets. I figured everybody else had already written their minutes about the Titans situation. And at this point, there's not a whole lot of new to say. And I'm glad that the protocols have kicked in, and I hope they limit the outbreak there with the Titans. Glad the Vikings haven't had any positive tests. And now it's really a wait-and-see approach for the next couple of days. All right, so this hour, in fact, 30 minutes from now, it's your chance to ask Amy anything. Generally, we get away from sports questions. That's actually up to producer Dave. But you can send your questions to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, and also to our Facebook page, which is named after the show. And you should be able to spot it based on my photo. Well, there's a pig up there now. You're going to have to check it out all by yourself. So 30 minutes to send your unique and creative questions to Twitter or Facebook, or if you want to call Dave and say hello, 855-212-4227. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. We are actually past the midway point of our work week. And so we're excited about Ask Amy Anything. It's our longest running feature because you keep sending your questions. Coming up here in moments, we will preview what is the opener of the NBA Finals on Wednesday. This has got to be one of the craziest weeks in sports that I have ever worked through. And I don't mean it in terms of storylines, because we've certainly had weeks where I've worked where there's been breaking news and shocking news. But the sheer volume of games and events going on is overwhelming. So I'm fully prepared to look like a deer in headlights or that smashed spider on my dashboard come this time tomorrow. 855-212-4227. We've got 8 games in Major League Baseball. None if necessary. They're all necessary. Actually, they're not necessary, but baseball's made it this way. 8 games. Yowzers. And then we've got the start of the NBA Finals. I do think it's smart of baseball and basketball to wedge these important games in between Monday Night Football and Thursday Night Football, though I kind of feel like Thursday should be open game. You probably, if you're the NBA Finals, should be playing back-to-back so that you can go opposite Thursday Night Football and earn yourself a few viewers. Jeremy is listening in San Diego. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, Ela, can you hear me?
Yo, I certainly can.
All right. Now, thank you for bringing it back to the diamond. I must say, and I don't know if you remember, about this time last year I called and I was super excited that the Padres were 2 games under 500. I was ecstatic. And now I remember what it's really like to have a team with a winning record.
Woo!
It's a shame that a lot of people are saying that it never would have happened in a real season.
It doesn't matter. Who cares what they say? They have no way of proving it, just like you have no way of proving that it would have. So just take it and freaking run with it, Jeremy. Who cares?
Yeah. And naturally, just like the last 3 or 4 times the Padres have been to the playoffs, it's against the Cardinals. And I think it's going to be Padres in 2. I'm a little bit nervous about Paddock because he's had a sophomore slump kind of year. But I kind of attribute part of that to the fact that he's been facing the same teams a lot.
That's a good point. I hadn't even thought about that. You're right. You face teams that become familiar with you. And we know that happens in division games, right? Where teams face the same pitchers over and over. So they get more comfortable with them. The batters do. So yeah, it is helpful when you are getting away from the same opponent over and over.
Yeah. And, and unfortunately, this is one of the scenarios where the new format sort of plays to their advantage. I'm sorry, I said that the other way around, because they'd be in a wild card spot having a coin flip game right now had it been the old format. And they're the second best team in the National League.
Yeah, I mean, that's where the 60-game part kind of throws things into flux. You're right. When you look at numbers, you look on paper, second best here, second best there. But this wild card format changes everything. There isn't a major home field advantage either way. So obviously the next 3 games, if there are 3 games, are all in the same place. And maybe that's easier, but there's no crazy atmosphere. And so I kind of feel like that levels the playing field. Plus, because it's not a one card or one wild card format, one game, that means that if one guy's off in terms of pitching, you can come back and make that up in the next day. So yeah, I kind of feel like this makes everything wide open, Jeremy. So I feel like most advantages are out the window in terms of the format, in terms of where teams are seated and yada, yada, yada.
In this particular case, I'd like to hear your pick for that. And do you think that the Padres are the better team of the 2?
You are what your record says you are.
All right.
So, yes, they are the better team of the 2. But as I just mentioned, I don't think that matters now that we're into the playoffs. Do you not know my theory on picks, Jeremy? Have you not heard me talk about this?
I guess I missed the memo.
My theory on picks and predictions is that they're a waste of time because they're just guesses. And most of the time, they're not even educated. So I do not make picks. I like the fact that I might be the only sports talk radio host in the history of the planet who does not do picks. I mean, I can tell you how I feel about games. I just kind of did. I think the Padres, you know, the excitement, the life, the energy. I know that they'll be kind of this... this, you know, jumping in the nerves. So the lack of experience, certainly that, well, you've got guys who have been there before, but for the most part, the organization not having been there in such a long time, but it, you know, a lot of that will go out the window after the first couple of innings. So if they can settle down and settle in, so the 3-game series definitely helps them. And they've got a lineup with a lot of pop. I mean, what they did over the course of 60 games is not a fluke. And they're comfortable playing in their own ballpark. So all those things are good. I have no idea how to gauge a 2020 postseason that's really just kind of made up for the sake of entertainment and more games on TV.
Yeah. Well, at least I just got my Slam Diego t-shirt in the mail, and it looks great. And that's something that would have happened in 162 games, I'd like to think.
Yeah. You know what? I think that you should be excited because it's playoff baseball and you haven't had it in a while and you've got at least 2 games.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Jeremy. All right. And by the way, I do not remember Jeremy's call from a year ago, but I think it's great that we're getting a call about the Padres. I do. Also, did you hear the kind of funny gaffe from Cardinals manager Mike Schilt? So he accidentally outed the Padres in terms of their starter. So they had it. He thought they had already announced that Chris Paddock would be the starter, but they hadn't. So he's on a Zoom call and he's being asked about matchups and the opener. And he says that Chris is going to be starting and then, you know, realizes somebody points out to him that nobody had made that announcement yet from San Diego. So he was kind of apologizing for it. So San Diego was waiting because they had an injury issue. So they're kind of waiting to figure out what they wanted to do. I just think the excitement level, with or without fans, is awesome for a team that hasn't been there in 14 years. Same way with the White Sox. How exciting is it when they had to watch the Cubs win a World Series, and not just that, but be in the playoffs, and the young stars they put together on the North side, and now the White Sox have been working on it. They spent a lot of money. They put together a team that they think is a contender. They haven't been there since 2008. The fresh blood to me is so much fun. To have the Rays as the top seed in the American League, you know, to have different teams in, and yet somehow a lot of the storylines still remain the same. The Minnesota Twins still cannot win a playoff game. I'm hoping for you, Twins fans, that the 3-game format will at least push it to the distance. I don't know what's going to happen, but this has got to be a little bit like rooting for the Falcons. That was mean. Was that mean? I'm trying to bring parallels. I'm bringing us together because people around the country can empathize with the dubious streaks, or the Lions, who finally won a game over the weekend. That had to feel like the weight of the world was lifted off your shoulders, Detroit sports fans. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We'll do some QB news coming up in a few minutes, but the NBA Finals tips off on Wednesday night. It's here. It's in Orlando. I keep reminding myself because I'm kind of out of bubble Orlando mode. So I've had to kind of turn my brain a little bit, turn that key on in my brain a little bit to remind myself that they're in Orlando, that they're not in Los Angeles to tip off this NBA Finals. But there are some familiar faces. LeBron James, of course, who was part of the 4 consecutive NBA Finals, 2 championship runs with the Miami Heat, before he went back to Cleveland and then won a title there and went to 4 straight NBA Finals with the Cleveland Cavaliers. So it's different, and yet it's the same. And of course, the question was going to be asked of LeBron whether or not it matters more to him that he's facing one of his former franchises.
It's no extra meaning to winning a championship, no matter who you're playing against. It's already hard enough to even reach the finals to be in this position. So if you're able to become victorious out of the finals, it doesn't matter who it's against.
Okay. And I mean, Cleveland is his home, really. Having grown up in Akron and the fact that he played for them twice, and not that it wasn't emotional, exciting for them to get to play together, he and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, and to have those 4 runs and those 2 rings, and those were his first 2, and then he got to take that back to Cleveland. So I feel like every ring is a little different, and every run is a little different. You remember it for different reasons. Now he's chasing history. So, yes, I feel like the history part is more meaningful to him than who they're playing. It wouldn't matter. And just like it wouldn't matter to him if they were playing the Celtics after the longstanding Celtics-Lakers kind of rivalries and storylines over the years, why would it matter to him? What he's doing now is chasing the ghosts of the past and chasing the greats in the sport who have more rings than he does. And to be in that conversation with, say, a Kobe or a Kareem, to be part of that conversation with a Michael Jordan, if people are talking about rings, what really separates him in any conversation, if people want to end it, what do they talk about? They talk about the number of rings. And I don't know that's necessarily fair, but that's what he's chasing right now. This is about LeBron and legacy. And if you can win in Los Angeles, it changes things because the Lakers are one of those iconic franchises that have championship expectations whenever they tip off a season. And now he's part of that. He's part of what has been the big purple machine, purple and gold machine for years and years. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. I'm kind of excited, as much as LeBron is really the main piece of conversation here for the Lakers, I'm excited for Anthony Davis because this is his first NBA Finals and he's a superstar and he's got more years ahead of him than LeBron does. And we have seen him blossom and thrive, and he's not playing second fiddle to LeBron. LeBron needs him. The Lakers wouldn't be in the finals without him. And just the way that we get to see his game, it's a big, demonstrative, loud, skilled. It's a game that is multifaceted. We get to see that game now on the NBA Finals stage. And it's kind of funny when you hear Anthony Davis talk, he's pretty low-key, he's real chill, and yet it obviously meant something to him to get to this point, considering everything that the Lakers and the rest of the NBA have gone through.
It's been a crazy year, you know, for us to continue to be a step closer to our dreams, to reach our goals, is special. You know, I think our team has been through the most this year, and, you know, we just kept on pushing.
Anthony Davis, LeBron James, Dwight Howard. We'll see what Frank Vogel does with the starting lineup. Also in there, Rajon Rondo. And we know that Avery Bradley opted out to play, but it's been a group of veterans. A couple of guys that are holdovers from the previous Lakers era. But, you know, it's a kind of a ragtag band of veterans who've come in and with the experience that they have, recognize their roles and are willing to do them and do them to the best of their ability. And yes, it's a statement on LeBron's legacy, and yes, we know what he's chasing, but at the same time, that you look at the other storylines and the other stories inside that Lakers locker room, and it's kind of interesting. It's a little spicier. Now, for the Miami Heat, forget what happened in the past when they put together their core and when Bosch and Wade and LeBron wanted to play together and Eric Spoelstra was kind of handed this core group. Spoelstra has become one of the best coaches in the NBA. We know what Pat Riley is capable of doing. He's an architect extraordinaire. And now you've got the Jimmy Butler factor, first finals for Jimmy Butler, and the competitive nature and the way that this group. Butler's a superstar, I would give you that. And you've got some really good players in Goran Dragic and Andre Iguodala. And we're seeing Tyler Hero develop as a rookie. And he's got that, almost got the Jimmy Butler edge to him as well. He'll clap back. But they're definitely the underdogs. And they're definitely the team that's not supposed to be there, quote unquote.
I'm not going to say that we're any better than anybody else, but I just don't think that we're underdogs. I don't. So what that nobody picked us to be here, that's okay. I'm pretty sure nobody's picking us to win either. That's okay. But we understand that. We embrace that. Because at the end of the day, we truly don't care. We're just going to go out here and compete, play together like we always have, and see where we end up. But at the end of the day, we're going to do this our way, the Miami Heat way, and that way has worked for us all year long.
You ignore them or count them out at your own risk. Because of the coaching, because of the balance, because of the fact that that they are doing this as a team. They have great chemistry. They have synergy. And while you can't really quantify that, we've seen how well this group plays together. And isn't that one of the mysterious elements of sports? You don't know how many points per game it's worth. You don't know how far it can carry you. But when you have a group of guys that loves playing together, that trusts one another, and when you've got that special synergy, which is the definition being, it's actually a corporate term, the definition being that the sum, the end product is greater than the individual parts. There's something extra there. There's something special about this group. And every team hopes to capture this type of chemistry and synergy. And it's fun to watch. And look at what they have accomplished to this point in Orlando. They were born for the bubble, baby. And so now they go in with none of the pressure. That's also helpful. So NBA Finals tipping off on Wednesday night. If we're not going back to Monday, and it won't get lost in all the baseball. Coming up next, a little bit of QB news as we get set for week 4 in the NFL. Are you kidding me?
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
You're the colonel. You're going to command your troops tonight. You understand?
Snap to Dak. Bane, right side of the end zone. Touchdown! It's a touchdown!
Mariota, play fake. Looking. Floats it downfield. Touchdown! Tight!
Fires for the end zone. Touchdown! And with a terrific job to feed that ball through heavy traffic.
Breeze from the shotgun. Has time. Guns it down the middle. And he's going to score!
Goss stands in. He whips it to the 2. Touchdown!
There's a wobbly pass down the middle. It's a backpedaling. Falling down chest high. Heavily covered. Touchdown catch.
Oh, baby, what a throw by Stafford.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
And we are 15 minutes away from Ask Amy Anything. And so you can send your questions to our show Twitter. Producer Dave will find them there, After Hours CBS, and also on our Facebook page. Thanks so much for joining us. I love to talk to you about baseball playoffs, NBA Finals, what's coming, which is week 4 in the NFL. And the Denver Broncos have decided they will start a third different quarterback in 4 weeks. Now, this is precipitated by the Drew Lock injury. It's a shoulder sprain. He's not expected to be out for longer than a month. However, Vic Fangio, as the head coach, had a decision to make.
Now, we're going to start Brett. I keep calling him Mark at times because of his uncle. But we're going to go with Brett, but we do have the ability to mix Jeff in there some in the game if we feel like we need to.
Vic Fangio referring to the other ripping NFL starting QB. But how cool, though, that there are two in the same family. So Brett Rippon will be the third different starter in 4 weeks for the Denver Broncos. Again, Drew Lock is out now with a shoulder sprain. There is a chance that Jeff Driskel, who started against the Buccaneers, could also play in some situations against the Jets. But what is that phrase we always hear about quarterbacks? If you have more than one, you don't actually have one. If you have multiple quarterbacks, you don't actually have one quarterback. So it's a frustrating stretch right now for Coach Fangio and the Broncos. And Drew Lock is expected to miss at least another 2 games. So right now, if they have to platoon, they have to platoon. But think about it from Brett Rippon's perspective. This has been his dream since he was a kid. I read a story where he had a poster on his ceiling bedroom at his home when he was growing up that said NFL or bust. And so this is something that he's wanted to do, maybe because of watching his uncle when he grew up. For Brett, this is a dream come true, though he does now represent this revolving door of quarterbacks for the Broncos since Peyton Manning retired, which Peyton Manning was actually at their game in Denver when Tom Brady and the Buccaneers were there for week 3. 9th different starting quarterback for the Broncos since they kicked off 2017. That's starting to get into Cleveland Browns territory, let's be honest. And so they've got Blake Bortles on their roster. They've also got Jeff Driskel, who's available, but it's going to be Brett Rippon's start against the Jets on Thursday night. How about that? It's your first start. It's a dream come true. And your coach keeps calling you by your uncle's name, and it's national TV. I mean, what more could you ask for? It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Yes, it's fun to kind of poke fun because this is not how the Broncos drew it up. They're 0-3. They're facing an 0-3 team on Thursday Night Football. And yet, Coach Fangio is confident that this is the right choice for his team right now.
We've had a year and second training camp and a couple of weeks of with breath here. And, you know, we just think he deserves a chance here to see how he can do here as a starter with albeit a short week of preparation, and take a look at Brett that way.
This is what they'd be doing in preseason, right? This is what a lot of teams would be doing in preseason. Brett went in to relieve, it's like a pitching situation, to relieve Jeff Driscoll late in Sunday's game against the Buccaneers. Now, there had been a pass rush that was really creating issues for all of the Broncos quarterbacks, but Rippon actually completed his first 8 passes and then got intercepted in the end zone, tried an ill-advised throw. He was trying to squeeze one into Jerry Jeudy, but he looked good to start and was in a rhythm to start, and so now they'll evaluate him in an actual game that counts. Yet another reason why there should be at least some preseason games. So that's the Denver Broncos. As for the Dallas Cowboys, no one's worried about their quarterback situation. That's not the issue. But Jerry Jones loves to talk about Dak Prescott. He loves to talk about all his quarterbacks. So we thought we'd throw this in. The great Jerry Jones on our Dallas affiliate 105.3 The Fan, comparing Dak to some of the great quarterbacks in the NFL. All right.
Obviously, with their quarterback, who's, I think, at the highest level right now because of his, frankly, as much as just his natural ability to make plays, his mobility. And this guy's very quick and elusive and can get in and out of situations with his feet and by time. The quarterback we played Sunday is of that kind of nature. He's very has great ability to get in and out and then make the play. That play Dak made at the end of the game that got intercepted. Well, the result of Dak's ability that let him get that ball off was really great and outstanding. Well, these guys do that. Have that ability a lot. They are very quick-footed, and they have the unique ability to possibly take their eyes away from the field for a minute and then immediately focus back and see. Romo had that. And so they could turn his back on it and turn around and hand-eye and get it done quick. And so those are things that show up, and that's what's showing up with these guys. They're buying time with their feet.
That was a very long-winded answer, but I would agree with Jerry Jones about the fact that some of the best quarterbacks in the league have not just elusiveness, so they can extend plays because they can squeeze out of tight places. He mentioned the final interception for Dak Prescott against the Seahawks. Now, it was an ill-advised throw because he threw it into traffic, and there had to be at least 3 Seahawks that were kind of surrounding his receivers. But as Jerry's referring to, before that, Dak was nearly wrapped up. He was nearly sacked, and he actually hit the ground with one hand but got up again, maintained his balance, great athleticism, and then was able to at least plant and fire. Now, it was a throw that he was trying to make something happen, but they were up against it, and he was in a spot where he felt like he had to try to work that ball into the end zone. So what Jerry's referring to is the ability to keep the play alive, and he's right. Some of the best quarterbacks in the league, including Russell Wilson, have the ability to keep a play alive. Those are my favorite plays to watch with Patrick Mahomes. Keep the play alive. The way that he is so creative on the fly, and it's that quick thinking, right? I mean, sometimes you're not even really thinking. It's just instincts, and the best quarterbacks have those instincts. And sometimes you can learn them, but most often it's something that's more inherent than anything. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. And while we're speaking about Patrick Mahomes, he and his now fiance, Brittany, they've been together for a long time, shared a couple of photos on, I think it was her Instagram. I don't have Insta, but it showed up on Twitter. I think a lot of people were talking about it. And then Dak shared it as well. Pat shared it as well, that they're now expecting their first bebé. And so they got a lot going on. He just got a Super Bowl ring and a Super Bowl MVP. And what he's doing is off the charts in the NFL and so much attention. And they're getting married and he's about to be a dad and just turned 25 years old.
Mahomes magic.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot for any person to handle in his life or her life. And to have it all happening at once when you're 25, I think I would have probably not done well with that. So, I mean, he's got a lot of good people around him, great family, really good support team. And one thing you know about Patrick Mahomes is, at least at this point, it's early in his career, but the success doesn't seem to have changed who he is as a person, which is why I think he's a great role model and a really good ambassador for the NFL. All right, coming up next, Ask Amy Anything. You got a few minutes left to send your questions to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, also to our Facebook page. I'm so glad you're on board for our hump show. I will do my best to accommodate straight ahead.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Time to ask Amy anything. Sort of.
Hit me with your best shot. Fire away.
I just put a timer on my phone and ran downstairs to say goodbye to a longtime security guard who works in our lobby. He's been here almost the entire time that I have been here, and now it's year number 8, which we were both exclaiming over, but he's retiring, and so I went down to say goodbye and thank you to him and to tell him that I'd be praying for his wife who's going through some health challenges, and let's see. Oh, I didn't tell him, but I mentioned this to you before on the air, that I've seen that man sleeping more often than probably anybody outside of my family, but he's so nice and much healthier now. And so needs to be able to sleep during the nighttime and take care of his wife. So thank you to Coop. It's nice to have met him and to have worked with him for the last almost 8 years. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for sending your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Producer Dave showed up just in time to do the honors. Dave.
Yes, I did. Here I am. Let's go. So
such enthusiasm. It's like Adam Gase.
Well, I'm a little bit happier than Adam Gase, I would like to think. Let's start with one of these ultimatum questions we know you love.
Oh, no! Okay.
It's Alan's fault, not mine.
All right.
Alan wants to know, waffles or pancakes?
Pancakes. I don't actually like waffles. Weirdly enough, I don't know why. I just have never liked the taste of waffles, but I love pancakes, and I love pure maple syrup. It needs to be from New Hampshire. It cannot be from Vermont. Sorry, Vermont. And I have some pancake mix in my cupboard that is pumpkin. Now, I could have made my own pumpkin pancakes, but I totally got captured by the cute little box with a pumpkin on it. So I bought pumpkin pancake mix, and I was thinking that I would try it out this weekend since it's the first weekend in October. How is that possible? That was not like, I'm not yelling at you, just yelling near you. But yes, pancakes all the way.
I agree. Not that anyone cares, but I agree. So Dawn has a question we've kind of asked before, but she wants to know, once things are completely back to normal, as she says, there's no restrictions on sporting events or where you can go and how many people can be there, mm-hmm. whenever it happens, what's the first thing that you're doing? Are you going to a sporting event with a full stadium? Are you going to a cookout, as she says, or a tailgate event, or something where there's hundreds or thousands of people? Where are you going? Mm.
That's a good question. A concert. I'd like to go to a concert or a Broadway show. I don't need to go to a sporting event. I think it'll be great to have fans back, but I'm going to a couple just to kind of experience what is unique to 2020. And I'll go to sporting events again. I was at a hockey game at Madison Square Garden, actually, in February. It was my last sporting event where there were fans. And so, yeah, I mean, that's not going to be my number one thing. I don't generally do sports on my free time. So for me, it would be something where, you know, it would be fun to hear a huge crowd kind of all excited. The other option that would be traveling. So I do have some friends who desperately want me to visit them in Denmark, and I've seen the tickets are relatively cheap. And so I've kind of been watching, and I know right now their borders closed and there's quarantine restrictions and all that jazz, and that makes sense. So I'm watching and waiting, and every now and then I'm Googling different travel restrictions in Europe so I can see what's open and what's not. And then finally, Cuba. So the second I have the opportunity, that is where I'm going. I've been invited to hop on a trip in February. Right now, the borders are still closed, but I am praying and hoping that it is a possibility. So it would be post-Super Bowl. It would be actually the week after the Super Bowl. So a nice little opportunity to take a break and get the heck out of Dodge. So, yes, that Cuba would be the first thing, but then also potentially some international travel would be the second thing.
Again, I'm with you on that one. Mexico is definitely the first place we're going.
Yes, I know your family, your in-laws are there.
Can't wait. So David wants to know if it's a two-part question. One, have you ever hosted your entire family for Thanksgiving at your house?
Yes, multiple times.
And is there any chance that that happens this year?
No, and the reason is because we don't do Thanksgiving all together as a family anymore. It's difficult since my mom is now in Texas. So before mom moved to Texas, she was in Ohio or New Hampshire. And so we were, you know, better able to get together. And I've hosted Thanksgivings just because my house has been easy to access by driving when they were in either Ohio or New Hampshire. And then my brother has been in the D.C. area for a long time, nearly 20 years now, not quite, but almost. And so we don't all do Thanksgiving together anymore. The last 7 years, though, I have gone to my brother's house to spend time with my brother, my sister-in-law, my nieces. This year, I've got a new plan. My best friend and I, she and I have known each other since we were 13. We have been best friends since we were 13. We've survived pretty much everything you can survive as humans and as friends. And we've never done a holiday together, except for going back when we were kids and, you know, we had to sleep over Christmas break, something like that. We've actually planned to do Thanksgiving together. So the goal is to drive. So she loves dogs. She's got two. I haven't met her new puppy. And so we're going to be doing a Thanksgiving with her two boys and three dogs and the two of us just kind of cooking up a storm. That's if the boss approves. Good morning, boss. That's if the boss approves the most of the week off. Not all of it, but I will have to drive to Atlanta. And so that is where she is. I haven't seen her since the Super Bowl was in Atlanta. So this is the longest Stephanie and I have ever gone without seeing each other. And so, yeah, we've been planning this for over a year now, and we're really hoping it works. Fingers crossed, like that really has anything to do with it. But that would be my next like travel extravaganza, my next road trip. So I haven't told my family. Well, my mom knows. My brother does not know. But I think they might go on a mini vacation anyway over Thanksgiving. So yeah, that's the plan. I just need the boss to say, sure, Amy, you can have the time off over Thanksgiving.
Hey, boss.
Hi, boss. She's the best cook, by the way. Oh, my gosh. If I lived anywhere near Stephanie, I would be a tubby. I mean, it's impossible to not eat her food. It's, oh, my gosh. Anyway, go ahead. Now I'm excited. It's only about 2 months away, not even 2 months away.
Well, if there's any leftovers, you know where to bring them.
I'll bring them back and put them in my freezer and then eat them steadily. Share them with you. Yeah. Okay.
You can have most of them.
Fine.
So before we get to Thanksgiving, we're going to get to Halloween. So Jeff wants to know, what is your most memorable costume?
Have I not answered this question before? I feel like people need to hear this again, but the answer never changes. When I was in elementary school, we did a Halloween party at a roller skating rink. This is what we did when I was a kid. Like my school that I went to, we would always do special occasions at roller skating rinks. So we did what was a Halloween party, is a costume party. And my mom and I made a costume out of a cardboard box. I was an encyclopedia. Have you not heard this story before?
I have not.
You haven't?
No.
I wore this giant box. We put armholes in the box. You should see Dave right now. What, you know me. I'm a nerd. This totally fits my personality. At that time in my life, I wore glasses. If I'm not mistaken, they were pink. So I started out with a pink pair of glasses, which I despised. To this day, my mother is sure I broke them on purpose. I didn't. I sat on them. It was an accident, but I hated them. Anyway, so I wore glasses. I was an encyclopedia. There were huge, there's a big box, like a huge moving box, that almost like a wardrobe box. And I was able to close it and open the book with, you know, with the arms as flaps. And we wrote on the outside and the inside. I do remember, though, that at one point I wanted to park the encyclopedia because it was really awkward to skate. And when my favorite, this might have been fourth or fifth grade, when my favorite boy in my class asked me to skate with him, it was very awkward because the box made things complicated. But yes, that is my best Halloween costume ever. Dave is still laughing. He's like actually bouncing up and down in his chair. I was an encyclopedia for Thanksgiving. Halloween.
I've never heard this story.
Wow. I tell it, I feel like, every few months. So I guess you just kind of missed it.
Somehow I have not heard the story before.
Oh my gosh.
I come from a household where my mother used to make my Halloween costumes every single year. Every year they got more.
Yeah, no, we were homemade costumes as well. I've been a cowgirl with braids and cowboy boots and overalls and all that jazz. But that was the one that I've never seen anyone else dress up as an encyclopedia. So I feel like that the most unique contest for sure. I could win that.
All I'm going to say is half man, half woman. Moving on. Jill wants to know, we all remember those weird, obscure kind of games you used to play in gym class as a kid.
Uh-huh.
So which one was your favorite?
Oh, I mean, I freaking kicked everybody's butt in gym class. I was so competitive when I was younger, like I am now. I've actually probably relaxed a little bit. But when it came to field day, you better get out of my way because I was just going to run everybody over. So the one that I would do in gym class that my this was the men's basketball coach, the boys' basketball coach, but he was also like my favorite teacher at the school. And we would do pull-ups or the one where you have to hold yourself up for a certain amount of time. And so, yeah, I was a brute. So I was constantly like beating everybody else, even the boys, because I was taller than most of the boys by the time we were in fifth, sixth grade. And so I loved that one where you would hang on the bar for a certain amount of time or you would do the pull-ups. And so that was we did dodgeball. Kickball was another favorite. I was always playing with the boys, the kickball. And so I was a major tomboy when I was a kid. So if it wasn't outside in kickball, it was this dumb game where you had to hang on the bar for as long as possible. And I refused to get down until I was the last one hanging up there. I know you're shocked by that.
Competitive nature. No. So first, I'm hearing of this. Tom says, we all know you love your coffee, but if you drink tea, how do you take your tea? Or is there no tea involved?
Well, I only drink tea when my younger niece makes it for me because she loves tea. And so she has all these like foo-foo teas that she likes to make. So she makes their different berry teas. So blackberry, blueberry, boysenberry, I don't know. But she likes to make teas. We drink tea together. But I will be honest, that's the only time I drink tea. I'm not a huge fan, but I do it because it makes her happy and because she likes to make it for me. And so it's a win-win. Can I just quick wrap up with this one, Producer Dave, even as we're at the top of the hour? I love this. Ted says to me on Twitter, what do you wish people would stop asking you? Now, you never field this question to me because you know better. People ask me about my sleep schedule or when do you sleep or do you ever sleep? At least a dozen times a day, it drives me insane, especially when they say you never sleep. How do you know? You're not with me, number one. Number two, you're wrong. That couldn't be further from the truth. So that, my friend, is the question that I wish people would stop asking me. When do you sleep and do you ever sleep?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.